The Church of Christ is on the air once again with a program of Bible truth, and today we begin a short series that we're simply entitling Word Study. You know, I was talking to a brother not too many years ago in the state of Missouri regarding words, and he said, "Had you ever considered that the words are the most important things in the Bible, for they're the conveyors of thought?" And really, the word, when you get down to it, is actually that which is associated with Jesus. On one of our past broadcasts, I remember calling to your attention the writing that was given to us by the Apostle John as he began the biography of Christ, saying in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This word actually refers to Jesus here, who truly was personified when he came down to this earth, and the wonderful teaching that he offered, it personifying God in a very definite manner. So I thought it might be well for a short period of time to give you a few words that are outstanding in the Bible. Of all the words that I would think of that probably have as far-reaching a meaning as any in the Bible, it would be the words that are associated with actually what Jesus had to offer. When you read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those three chapters, you'll notice the reaction of the people is that they were astonished at his doctrine. And that's the word we want to deal with on the broadcast today, the word doctrine. As I look through the various definitions that are given for the word doctrine, I find that it always comes back to one thing. Every time you find the word doctrine in the Bible, you know that it refers basically to teaching. One great thought of this is found, of course, in that Sermon on the Mount, where the people were astonished at the teaching of Jesus. And then the very first thing that can be said about the early disciples who obeyed the gospel at Pentecost in Acts 2:42 is that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There are some people who believe today, and probably they're honest in this belief, we do not doubt that, because we consider everyone to be honest until they prove themselves to be otherwise. So I'm considering the people honest who say that we really have no doctrine today. It would seem that people are swept away many times with the idea that we are saved by God's grace. And how true that is, I can't think of a better way to be swept away than by His marvelous grace. But to realize that grace never becomes effective in anyone's life until they respond with belief. And this belief comes from hearing the Word of God, which is the teaching or the doctrine. We are led to believe as we look at the unfolding teaching that's found in the New Testament that this played a very vital part in the salvation of man's soul. You see, when you think of the death of Christ upon the cross, as well as His burial and His resurrection, as Paul says is a part of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. And again, I want to say as we give these references, if you don't get them and you want them, certainly feel free to drop us a card or letter. But if you read carefully the 1 Corinthian epistle in chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, you'll find that he simply says the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But you see, teaching has to be offered that men may obey from their heart that teaching which implies commandment. Paul emphasized this as he wrote to Timotheus, considered to be a son in the faith, as we now read from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice what Paul says to Timothy that he must do. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So he was to be concerned about his life, what he said and what he did, but he was also to be concerned about the doctrine. In the qualification that was found for an evangelist, and I'm going now to the 2 Timotheus writing, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, let's notice the first few verses. "I charge thee therefore before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." There we have the emphasis of teaching. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now why? "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine," or sound teaching, "but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." He was to watch in all things, he was to endure afflictions, he used to do the work of an evangelist, which implied preaching and teaching the word, he was to make full proof of his ministry. So as these scriptures unfold regarding doctrine, we can see that it's vital that we obey a teaching from our heart. I'd like to give you that sequence now in the sixth chapter of Romans that we referred to time and time again. In fact, I think I told you on one broadcast that we were talking to a brother who'd preached the gospel for many years, and someone apparently out of the blue had asked him a question. If you had one sermon to preach, where would you go? What text? What teaching? And he went to the sixth chapter of Romans, and he said, if I had one sermon to preach, I would preach it on Romans 6, 17, and 18. Now listen at what this teaching has to offer. But God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. When one obeys from his or her heart that form of doctrine that truly was delivered to the apostles, they're obeying the gospel of Christ. See, this harmonizes perfectly with what Jesus taught just before he left this earth. I thrill when I read that 28th chapter of Matthew, and as I come to the climax of Matthew's biography sketch, under inspiration, by inspiration of Jesus Christ, I'm led to believe how outstanding it is. Listen to the words as they're given to us by Matthew in the life of Jesus as he announces to his apostles that truly there's something ahead. He says in Matthew 28 and 18, that complete power or full authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. We understand that Christ received this position and this power when he went back to heaven. This is just before his ascension that he's announcing his complete power. Then the very first edict that was offered by this king, as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is found, of course, in the 19th verse of the same 28th chapter. So after telling them about his authority or kingship, he orders them to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says of Christian living, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So you can see that we do have a doctrine on this side of conversion. We do have a doctrine in the New Testament Scripture. They were to obey from their heart that form of doctrine from Romans 6. Being made free from sin, they might become servants of righteousness. The question, of course, comes in Christian living, how is one going to serve? We believe that he follows the pattern in Christian living that is a teaching or a doctrine. In the New Testament, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as books of biography telling us by four different writers, all motivated by inspiration, the story of Jesus' coming and his life upon this earth, the story of his death upon the cross, and the glorious return from the grave of the Savior who was resurrected and who is perched as we come to the book of Acts for his ascension to the right hand of the Father. Of course, the book of Acts is a history of the apostles in the early days of Christianity. It is also a notable account of conversions, how people were born again. And you'll recall in past broadcasts that we've gone to chapters like chapter 2 in Acts and chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10, as well as chapter 16 and chapter 18 along with chapter 22. And we found out how people were born again, born of the water and the Spirit. Now this was a teaching. This was a doctrine. But then when you get into Romans especially and go on through the rest of the New Testament, what do you have? You have basically a teaching or a doctrine that tells people how they can serve as Christians. So your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that bring you this broadcast firmly believe that there is a doctrine in the world today. If Paul said to Timothy, and he also wrote to Titus, that there was a sound doctrine, it would indicate the very mention of there being a sound doctrine would indicate that there would be doctrines that would not be sound. You know, I think on this subject a lot of times, not because I'm thinking negatively, but I'm realizing the undone condition that can be found in the lives of people who have escaped, perhaps, sin, but now find themselves once again under the clutches of false teaching. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and 9, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And again, as Paul said to Timothy in that second epistle, giving him the qualifications for an evangelist, to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine. What would they do? They would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they would be turned from the truth unto fables. You're aware of the fact that a fable may have some good things about it, but it's not based upon truth. So in this 20th century, not because it's any more important that men live for the Lord in the 20th century than it was in the 19th century and clear on back, or that it will be in the centuries that may be ahead, provided the world is left here. Yet it is a now teaching that we must speak where the Bible speaks. We must be silent where it is silent. How well do you know the doctrine that's found in the New Testament? How well do you know the gospel about what you should do to become a Christian? How well are you acquainted with the wonderful teaching that tells you how to live for Christ? You know, we have pamphlets that have scripture in them that will help you to come to know this teaching better. Why don't you, if you have questions on your mind, drop a card or letter today, as soon as you can, without cost or obligation, to the congregation of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast. Now, these brethren will be in a position to give you material. In fact, one congregation that I'm thinking about has the opportunity of giving you cassettes that you can actually hear any subject that is essential to your salvation. So why don't you take advantage of this? And if we can help you, of course, we'll be glad to do so. We talk to people personally all over the country, and we're glad to do that. But we're going to have to leave you in this word study today. We trust you'll listen for time of services of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast. Tell a friend and neighbor about the broadcast and be with us next time as we continue on with another interesting word study, because it's found in the Word of God.